Our closing meditation for the retreat will be on the daily examen of conscience. After we retreat on the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue, it's only logical to have one meditation, well, on keeping the Ten Commandments, namely, the daily examen of conscience. The vocabulary here is quite important. We distinguish between an examination of conscience before confession and the daily examen of conscience made for growth in the spiritual life. Our plan for this meditation is to ask ourselves 5 questions. What is the examination of conscience before the sacrament of confession? Then, what is the general examen of conscience made daily in the pursuit of Christian perfection? Then, what is the particular examen of conscience? Why is a daily examen of conscience necessary for growth in a spiritual life? And finally, how to make a good daily, general, and particular examen of our conscience on how well we have lived the Decalogue and the Beatitudes. First, then, the examination of conscience. Basically, the examination of conscience before confession is a review in God's presence of the state of my soul. People tell me they cannot think of anything to confess. If it's a husband, I'd ask his wife, what an examination of conscience she could make. Assuming there are no mortal sins, I look back over my conduct since my last confession, and if I can do anything, I recommend the frequent reception of the sacrament of confession. If the priests are not available, make them available. If they are eager to hear confessions, make them eager. If they think you're imposing on them, impose on them, ! For the frequent confessions, 3 or 4 failings are plenty. A strong recommendation to try to avoid just making these routine. Remember what I said the last time? I guess I should say the same thing this time. In other words, really, make an examination of conscience. If the just man, says the scriptures, falls seven times a day, well, if it's a week since your last confession, that can well be 49 times. What are my options? Unless I have fully deliberate mortal sins to confess, which should be a rarity, I can choose several of my most common moral failings. And if I don't know my common moral failings, that's where the second part of our meditation comes in. Start making seriously a daily, general, and particular exam of conscience, in charity, in obedience, in poverty, in kindness, in laziness, in prayerfulness, in discouragement, in humility, in selfishness, and be specific. I fell asleep during my meditation. That's specific. You might even want to add how long you slept. Be specific. To be noted is, our faith tells us that the Mass and Holy Communion can also remove both the guilt and the penalty of venial sins. So besides sacramental confession, we have two infallibly certain ways of removing both guilt and temple punishment due to sin, namely the Holy Eucharist. Yet frequent confession is highly recommended by the Church. I have underlined the word highly. Experience also shows that making a good daily examine of conscience helps immensely in making more profitable sacramental confessions. There are two Latin words we use relative to the sacraments. We see the sacraments operate ex opere operato, meaning what? Just because I've gone to communion, I receive grace, provided I'm in the state of grace. Just because I've gone to confession, I receive grace. Just because I've confessed my sins and received absolution. That's ex opere operato. But the sacraments also confer grace ex opere operantis. What does receiving grace ex opere operantis mean? It means I receive as much grace as I am spiritually disposed when I receive the sacrament. The better disposed I am, the more grace I get. The less well disposed, the less grace I get. If I don't get a lot of grace, it's my own fault. And that is why the daily examens of conscience help immensely to better dispose ourselves, so that when we go to confession, and for that matter, when we receive communion or assist at Mass, ex opere operantis, we get more grace. So much for examination of conscience. What is the general examen of conscience? By definition, a daily examen of conscience is of the essence of the pursuit of holiness, because I examine my conscience daily before God. You might ask, what value is there in this daily scrutiny of my moral behavior? The value of that daily scrutiny is, as we'll see, that I am then speaking to God and acknowledging my sinfulness. In other words, I am practicing the most fundamental virtue in the spiritual life, and that is humility. How do we get humble? We become humble through humiliations. No other way known to God or man. So what's the daily examen of conscience? A daily humiliation in the eyes of the one person that we most need to be humiliated, in our own eyes. Some people are so proud, other people can hardly even humiliate them. Somebody does something to me that should be humiliating. I think to myself, what an idiot. I'm supposed to be humiliated. Instead of being humiliated, I make another act, shall I say, of pride. In other words, if we're going to grow in a spiritual life, we must be daily humiliated in our own eyes. What do I do in my general examen of conscience? I go over in God's presence and always place yourself, maybe just a few seconds, in the presence of God before you begin your examen of conscience. And this is now centuries of spiritual wisdom. I go over three areas of my spiritual life over the past day, or for me by rule, twice a day. And just for the record, including here at Hamas, I make my twice daily examine of conscience, and by rule, it's 15 minutes twice a day. And I tie myself. What do? I go over three things in my spiritual life. This is the ABC of the spiritual life. And speaking to your community that has, by the extraordinary grace of God, received pontifical status, in the name of our Lord, may I ask all of you to make a daily, faithful, prayerful examine of conscience, and no routine. What's the first area? Gratitude. Placing myself in God's presence, I ask in prayer what blessings God has given me during the past day, or I repeat, the past half day, since my last examine. Immediately I thank our Lord for these graces. I then thank God by name for the blessings He has given me. Just a word of gratitude for the blessing, whether the blessing was pleasant or painful. Do you hear me? Some of the greatest graces that we receive from God are painful. And I make a record. I jot down. I'll be as autobiographical as God wants me to be while speaking in public. 4 years, I resolved to spend 3 hours a day in prayer, besides my Mass and Divine Office. And I jot down into my ordo book. You know what an ordo book is? I should have brought one. It's the sequence for each day for the Divine Office, the feast to be celebrated, or a ferial day, the scripture readings, and the intention for the Mass each day. And there's plenty of space on each day's entry for, in hieroglyph, putting down both thanking God, and if I don't put down 180, that means 60 minutes times 3 for each day. First of all, I put down 180. I thank our Lord. If I don't make it 180, I beg pardon. So I thank God, my name, for the blessings He has given me. And then a word of gratitude for each blessing. I repeat, whether that grace was pleasant and I liked it, or it was painful and I didn't like it. God is not asking us to like all the graces He gives us. There are some graces we smile over, some graces we weep over. We still thank Him as we shed a tear. Part two of this essential triad of every good general examen. Contrition. Then I ask myself, what have I done wrong? Which, by the way, goes along with number one. Whatever we do wrong is always a failure in cooperating with the graces we've received. In my thoughts, have there been wandering thoughts? My desires, my words, and my actions. One of the privileges of living in a religious community, we've got so many assistants in help us make a good examination of conscience. We might not like their assistance. It has nothing to do with. Nothing to do with the value of being reminded. And there are all kinds of ways of being, dare I say, reprimanded, or being given, what shall I say, sororal correction. I tell our Lord that I'm sorry. And it's a short act of contrition. It's also a good idea to impose, I want to be very kind, some small penance for my failings, an extra prayer, some small act of self-denial, some act of charity. If I've offended somebody, an apology. Now the big one regarding this contrition for our failings. It is a good idea to associate some short aspirations that I recite, if only for a moment, the moment I have done something displeasing to the Divine Majesty. I'm not sure that I've ever shared a copy of this Jesuit prayer book with the community. I don't think so. It's my only copy left. This sinner happens to be the editor of this Jesuit prayer book. I have here 20 aspirations. You can think of 40 more. Make them up to associate with either a failure or the practice of a virtue that you need. Say, for an act of selfishness. Jesus, my God, I love you above all things. Or for natural motives, instead of having a really good intention. All for you, most sacred heart of Jesus. Or an act of self-will. Jesus, most amiable, have mercy on me. Or inordinate attachment to persons. Heart of Jesus, I love you. Then raise your voice on the you. I love you. And so, cultivate the habit of associating a short aspiration, and I recommend standardizing it. Then, once more, I jot down, write down in hieroglyph where I have failed. Part 3 of the general examen. Either resolution, or another word I use, anticipation. Every examination of conscience should include a few minutes of planning. In other words, I anticipate the next day or the next half day. How few people do this. I know what I'm supposed to do. So, I anticipate and then plan how I'm going to spend my time. There's just so much that I have on, say, any given enterprise. I plan on doing it and decide when I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it, for how long I'm going to do it, and of course, what I'm going to do. Given what I told you before our last evening's meditation, at 11 o'clock, Seville time, there's a very important meeting with the Archbishop of Seville. That's 3 a.m., Jemez Springs time. So I made sure that I could get in. I rapped at the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was let in. So in the back of the chapel, I said 3 rosaries, some private prayer, and said some of my divine office. 4:05. In my watch, right there. 4:05. Packed my things, got up, genuflect, and back to bed. Until 6 o'clock. Began writing this. There's no limit to what we can achieve for God if we plan what we're going to do for God. God's providence includes our prudence. And prudence means planning. We anticipate. And don't say that it's too mechanical. If it's mechanical, so what's wrong with being mechanical in serving God? Genuflecting is, well, a mechanical bending of that limb of the body called the knee. And again, I jot down what I may call my agenda. Most people, I'm afraid, don't know enough Latin to know what the word agenda means. The Latin verb for to do is agere. The gerundive mood for the verb agere, and gerundive means things that must be done. The gerundive mood for agere is agendum for one thing and agenda for things. Things that must be done. That's the dictionary definition based on the Latin of the word agenda. Anybody serious in the spiritual life must, and I underline the imperative, must have an agenda. Otherwise, what should be agenda become agibilia. What are the agibilia? Things that we are able to do. But become lost memories of things not done. So much for the general examine. Now the particular examine. But you say, oh, this is so structured. I'm not that kind of personality. Well, if you want to be flabby in your spiritual life, that's your problem. Are we all, for just basic health reasons, to watch our diet? Is it being too mechanical to say, plan on eating, let's make it 3 meals a day, at stated times, common sense? And a particular examine. I plan for a definite time in the future. A week is a little short. A month is better. Or several months. well, then it can become routine. I plan for the future, say for the next month, on overcoming someone or more, and better one, particular failing. Even to find that out. That's what we did during the whole retreat. 8 days. All the moral failings we talked about. Pride, envy, anger. Remember? Anyone who says he does not have the seven capital sinful tendencies is either stupid or a liar. And none of us want to admit it. So what is my particular distinctive failing? Is it in prayer? Is it in a particular virtue that I need? Is it neglect? But be specific. Over the years, I have never tired repeating the practice of Benjamin Franklin. In his autobiography, this is several pages. He describes, and even has, it's almost a photocopy from the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. He divided the year, what else, into 12 months. Figured he has 12 principal failings. And there being 4 seasons to the year, four times 13, 52 weeks. Each month he consecrated on one failing. The doctor of the church, Saint Alphonsus Liguria, I'm sure he did not get it from Benjamin Franklin. They both got it from St. Ignatius. I cannot think of a better resolution for this retreat than to make 3 decisions. Number one, I'm going to make a daily general examination of conscience. I'm going to daily make a particular examination of conscience. And I'm going to write down somewhere my daily record. From my Marian Ignatian catechists, I have bought enough copies of the Jesuit order for each one, with instructions. Keep a record. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have, well, a nice little, pardon the word, dainty examination of conscience notebook for each member of the community. The particular exams are changed, either I said weekly, which is a little short, but weekly, or monthly, or periodically. They should also, as we've said before, be commonly associated with some prayerful aspiration. Either, watch this. The moment I see myself tempted in the direction of one of my failings, I make the aspiration. I pick up the telephone. I hear a voice. And after a while, you can recognize voices. Of course, I make the aspiration in silence. Lord, give me prudence. Lord, keep me patient. Lord, keep this down to a reasonable length. Or when I'm doing something that could be an occasion of sin. Occasions of sin should always be occasions of prayer. Or after I've done something which I shouldn't have done, said something mean, or glared at somebody, or didn't move. Ignatius tells us to move with the sound of the bell and even leave the letter unfinished that we may be writing. That doesn't mean the epistle unfinished. Not dotting the I, not crossing the T. And believe me, I am no fool. I cannot tell you the blessings from God in practicing that kind of, shall I call it, punctilious obedience. I have one more area to cover. Benefits. To repeat and reemphasize, it is a good idea to have a small notebook for our daily examination of conscience. I got my first notebook in my first week in the Society of Jesus, and I've not been without one ever since, over the years. Experience proves on this daily examine does many things. To be exact, 8 things. I kept watching the clock, getting close to 8 o'clock. Harden, you better move. So I stopped. What are some of the benefits of this daily examine of conscience. First, it provides us with a daily inventory of our spiritual life. No sane businessman in the world would run a business without making a daily inventory. Second, it makes us alert through the day of what we should be doing. Because remember, my examine meant anticipation, and my next examine will be, well, perhaps humble admission. Makes us alert. Third, it helps us to see the graces that God is constantly giving us through the day. Faith tells us nothing ever happens in our lives. Nothing. Everything is intended by God to be a grace. A holy thought for the mind, a holy desire for the will. The examine of conscience will help us to see that this thing, this mishap, what we hear, the mistake we made, these are graces. Number four, it helps us to remember from past experience what we should be doing here and now. In other words, it enables us to cultivate good habits. For example, and now be careful how much I say, my daily examine must have a VC every day. VC means via crucis, to make sure I've made the way of the cross every day. And as you know, there's such a thing as having crucifixes, either on the rosary or otherwise. I'm sure you know. Blessed in such a way that by just holding the crucifix or the rosary with the crucifix in my hand, I can make the stations of the cross. Oh, how many ways of the cross I've made during boring lectures that, well, I was patiently and smilingly listening to. Or at meetings, long dreary reports, who wants to waste his time? Now, my instinct tells me, excuse yourself from the meeting. No. You can pray. Number five, the daily examines of conscience keep us humble, because then we see our daily failings. And let me tell you, there's only one person who can really humiliate us, and that is we ourselves. And that's the purpose It encourages us by recalling the many blessings we daily receive from God. The next day is bright, maybe stormy, a blizzard outside, or pouring rain. But my heart is cheerful because, gosh, what wonderful things God gave me today. Again, the daily examines of conscience enable us to see the progress in our spiritual life, and we all need it. It helps us to keep what some people are in the habit of doing, looking at their failings, and become daily more and more discouraged, depressed, to the point of despair. We see progress. Of course, my friends, you got to work at it to make progress. And finally, the daily examines of conscience systematize our whole life. Organize our lives. Put order into our lives. How will I know a person can belong to a religious order by living a very disorderly life? Going through routine is not being orderly. Order is within the human spirit, and the church's whole tradition over the centuries has said it is the daily examine of conscience that principally systematizes, organizes, puts order into our spiritual lives. Where order means using suitable means to achieve a predetermined end. I thought I'd read, in closing, a prayer from St. Peter Canisius. It happens to be the examination of conscience, which he composed for himself, and his own closing prayer. O merciful God, what return I, your thankless servant, have made for the innumerable favors and the wonderful love you have shown me. But wrongs I have done, what good left undone? Wash away, I beg you, these faults and stains with your precious blood, most kind Redeemer, and make up for my poverty by applying your merits. Give me the protection I need to amend my ways for the future and the whole manner of my life. I give and surrender myself wholly to you and offer you all I possess, by the prayer that you bestow your grace on me, so that I may be able to devote and employ all the thinking power of my mind and the strength of my body in your holy service, who are God, blessed forever and ever. Amen. And my plan is to give the papal blessing now after the homily. In case you don't have your crucifixes yet blessed with the faculty of making the way of the cross, I'll do that now too.